Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's preacher is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, parochial vicar and associate director of the Catholic community. It is the Mass of the Lord's Supper, and the readings are from Cycle A.
You've heard the story before, but have you climbed inside and felt it? Jesus' last days were filled with betrayal, darkness, and death, but also most wonderful surprises. Death threatened them, but for a moment Jesus and his apostles retreated to the safety of the celebration of the Passover meal. They relived God's liberating Israel from slavery when death passed over Jewish homes marked with the blood of the Lamb. The breath of life, God's breath, was in the blood, and it warned the angel of death, "You can't visit this house tonight. This is a house of life." Wouldn't you want a life that chases death away? But the joy of Passover hardly began when Jesus bombarded them with surprises. He stripped off his tunic and became a slave, washing their feet. On this night, Jesus made himself their bread. "Take, eat, this is my body." On this night, he didn't mark them with the blood of life. He bid them drink it and drink it deep. "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood." On this night, when each would have drunk the blessing of freedom from their own cups, Jesus makes them drink from his. The blood of new freedom and covenant. "For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins." One wonders, what was the disciples' first reaction? Mildly put, it grossed them out. Who asked such things, to eat flesh, to drink blood? They couldn't imagine that God wanted to come that close. Quickly, the night of surprises became a night of failures. One betrayed him, one denied him, and the rest save one abandoned their friend. And how that must have felt, to be left alone. You have to wonder about Judas. Why? I wonder if Judas betrayed Jesus because he was trying to force Jesus to be a different kind of Messiah. A Messiah of power and might. And Jesus was so different. Do you really think the people wanted a Messiah who washed feet, gave his flesh as food, his blood as drink, proclaimed a covenant of God's self-giving and forgiving love? Or didn't they want a Messiah who would do to the Romans what they did to them? Too bad Judas didn't stick around. Hopelessness made him miss the real surprise, the resurrection, when the earthly Messiah was shown to be the Lord of life. The Word made flesh is the Father's self-giving love. Jesus wants to walk with you, in you, and act through you. He asks, "Will you strip off the outer garments of your own fears or bravado? Will you let him wash your feet, wash away the hidden broken parts of your life? Will you feed on his humanity so you may be fed with his divinity? Will you drink of his life and become a house of life for all? Will you become his body?" Don't mistake God's project. God wants to do so much more than merely wiping sins away. He wants people alive with the very liveliness of God himself, God's own life. We misunderstand God when we imagine Him out there with all the power, all the decision, when all the while He wants to be right in here. Let me explain it by a love story by Soren Kierkegaard, who wrote, "When kings still ruled Europe, people speak of unhappy love, and everyone knows what that means. The lovers can't have each other. And the reasons, well, there are many. There is another kind of unhappy love which has no earthly comparison, but which we can imagine by way of fable. The happiness is the result of their being unable to understand each other." So imagine a king who loved a humble maiden. His decision was easy to carry out, for every politician dared not utter a word of disapproval. So let the music play, let the song begin, let all be festive while love celebrates its victory. For love rejoices when it unites equals, but it is victorious when it makes the unequal equal in love. Then a worry awakened in the heart of the king. He did not speak of it to anyone, for if he had done so, any one of his advisors would have said, "Oh, Your Majesty, you're doing the girl a favor." And such words would have infuriated the king. So he wrestled with his worry alone. Would she be truly happy at his side? Would she have the self-confidence to forget that he was king and she only a humble maiden? For if this memory troubled her and took her mind away from the king, then love would not have been victorious. Then she would indeed have been happier if she remained hidden in her humble hut, loved by an equal, but at least confident and happy in love. One solution is by way of an ascent. The king could appear before the lowly maiden in all his splendor and let the sun of his glory rise over her hut. Let her forget herself in adoring admiration. This perhaps would have satisfied the girl, but it would not have satisfied the king. For he did not want his own glorification, but the girl's. And his sorrow would be great because she would not understand him. If then unity and understanding could not be brought about by an ascent, it must be attempted by dissent. The king would become the servant. For this is the boundlessness of love, that in truth it wills to be the equal of the beloved. Look, there he is, the Word made flesh. Can't you see him? Taking the form of a slave was not an act. He washes your feet, making himself your food and drink is no symbol. He suffers all things, endures all things, hungers in the desert, thirsts in his agonies, forsaken in death, absolutely the equal of the lowliest of all human beings. Love gives rise to all this because God is not zealous for himself, but for you. Love wants to share all. What if you felt God loved you that much? One of you told me he was overwhelmed with the thought that God radically loved him. And then he added these words, "That's a game changer. Life can't remain the same." Well, it does remain the same. It remains the same unless you delight in his love and commit to living that love for everyone.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.